Gunny.
At the end of that conversation, you were talking about the previous conversation, you were talking about, like, you don't know anything and...
Stupidest person.
And all that
dumbest person in existence.
My question is, I guess, sometimes I feel that... I want to drop everything and just do something really simple.
Yeah.
And not do any practice at all. But there's a sense that I haven't reached that stage where I can do that, because this
see, anyone can do it in any moment, that's self-inquiry.
Yeah.
Perhaps what's more true is I haven't reached that where I can do it consistently.
Yeah.
Or I haven't reached it where I can do it consistently long enough. Right? To obliterate the ability to assume completely.
Yeah.
To form new neural pathways. Or to stop using old neural pathways. Does that feel truer?
Yeah, okay.
Because even this conversation was a good long hour of not assuming.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be sat here if you really wanted to keep assuming.
Yeah.
Which is why you didn't make it the other day. It's clear, isn't it?
Yeah. What I'm trying to say, is it enough to just kind of drop everything and just be the self?
Yeah.
Forget all the concepts.
Whether you call it contemplation, or dropping everything, or self-inquiry, it's all the same thing. Really, by different names, not believing any particular thought in that moment. Yeah, the one that I used to like was, it actually started with a question, it would lead to a very deep samadhi, you know, the temporary coming and going. What's it like to not assume anything? That's the question you can fall in love with very quickly. The question should be addictive, right? It should be, oh, I want it, I've got to get another fix.
Yeah.
Not believing anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I want it, I want another high, you know. It's really good to get addicted to that kind of question.
The only thing I'm kind of conscious of, or one of the things I'm conscious of, when we talk about that though, is that I know that in the past, I have used like zoning out, or avoiding stuff as a way to get through things. So I'm conscious that
You won't want to do that. After a little while of experiencing what it feels like to go through a positive or negative experience, heaven or hell, without any assumptions, they'll very quickly both become the same thing. It won't matter to you whether your experience, what's actually showing up, is what other people would call an awful experience, or whatever the experience that every spiritual seeker is trying to get, which is love, peace, joy and bliss. It won't make any difference to you. Because it's the assumptions about what's happening that cause you to suffer, not actually what's happening.
Just say that again.
It's the assumptions about what's happening that cause the suffering.
Yeah.
It's not anything to do with what's actually occurring. So what's actually occurring can be what the world would call positive or negative.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Of course you prefer positive experiences, but if you're not suffering through them, you're not suffering. How do we suffer? By believing thoughts about them.
Yeah.
So if you're asking a question, in that moment, you're not only believing... Let's say you believed you were unworthy, not good enough to be happy. If you question, is that really true, that I'm not worthy? Is that really so? You might think you're only questioning that one thought, but you're actually questioning every I thought. Every I thought, which is, by the way, all thoughts.
How does that cut across everything then?
If you're not using those neural pathways,
they'll
begin to fade away.
Right?
If you believe the same old thought, run the juice through that neural pathway, fire up the same neurons, your brain says, this is a valuable thought pathway, let's keep it going. If you don't walk down the same path in the forest, it quite quickly gets overgrown.
Right, so it actually...
If you're not walking on any paths.
Yes, it neutralises all of them.
All of them will be overgrown, won't they?
Right, okay. So by asking that one question,
your mind will become silent.
Opens up another new pathway.
If your mind says something in answer to the question, that's fine. Just don't assume that's the answer.
Yeah.
It's a answer.
Yeah.
Of which there are infinite. You could ask, what is it like to eat cabbage? And you could have an infinite number of experiences.
Mm.
Every time you eat cabbage, it'd be different. Yeah. If you don't assume, this is what cabbage tastes like.
Mm.
I know what it is.
Mm.
You'll miss the sensory experiences going on in your mouth in that particular moment because you think you know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't really like cabbage. I don't know why I picked that example. You get the idea, though.
All right, okay. Yeah, I do.
It's so, so simple when it becomes clear.
I hadn't really that... you probably said that loads of times. I hadn't realised just asking any question.
Any question?
Yeah.
What time is my shopping being delivered?
Yeah.
You know, literally any question. It's easier though to ask a question that holds your attention.
Yeah, it's something that...
Because you're obviously interested in what reality is, otherwise you won't be in satsang.
Yeah.
So ask a question like that.
Mm.
And if you can see that mind works in pairs of opposites, here's the question, this is the answer.
Mm.
It's only looking for one answer.
Yeah.
But the self says, yes, that's an answer, and here's another answer, and here's another answer, and here's another answer, and each one will be better.
Mm.
Deeper, more profound, more wow factor, more love, joy, and peace with it. But not because it's just like it's opening a portal into reality, into when you ask a question.
So is that why when you're on the post the other day, when you kind of push me for more answers, it's because you go back in the contemplation and you...
Yeah. If I'm getting you to you're think, taking, to question.
Yeah, okay.
If you're not ready to hear it, then there's no point me pushing you for more questions, more answers even.
Mm.
But if you're finally ready to hear it, then there's nothing to be gained by stopping with just one. And we could actually continue. You could come up with infinite answers.
Yeah.
Your mind will go... No, there's only a certain number of reasons why Krishna didn't grant Arjuna the same experience.
Yeah.
That seems quite logical to mind.
Because it's quite funny, because when you ask for further, what else could it be?
Mm-hmm.
I remember my initial response to that, I've got nothing.
Yeah.
And I literally just sat and didn't think of anything, particularly.
Just wait for an answer to show up.
And it showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys like Einstein were great at doing this.
Yeah.
If he couldn't think of an answer to something, he'd just go for a nap for 30 minutes and he'd wake up from a nap where he wasn't assuming anything.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd been open for that time.
Yeah.
So if you... Krishna, one of the main reasons Krishna didn't do it is because he knew that there was an assumption being held in place that would stop the same experience from taking root, the same revelation from taking root.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a profound experience in that moment and then it'd be completely forgotten.
Yeah.
And it has to be. If I think I know what reality is, then when I'm shown reality in that moment, or when I see it in that moment, I have to reject it. Because that is different to what I think it is.
Mm.
I have to reject it. I have to forget it and not value it.
Yeah.
The moment you realise it's always going to be a constantly new and exciting, never had before answer. Right, and we get kind of see that mind is only expecting one finite answer, and that's it. Job done. Book closed. Next.
Mm.
Next question.
Yeah.
So the teacher's always trying to fish for a question that gets somebody to fall in love with questioning again.
Yeah.
You do that as a child, right? You've no assumptions about the day when you wake up, what it's going to be, or any of that. You just fall in love with experiencing exactly as it is.
I remember going to school and wanting to be good at just about every subject. I didn't want to be good at, there wasn't one in particular. When I was first going to school, I wanted to know everything.
Mm. Yeah. So you become this, even if kids, they're imagining, you know, make believe, there's nothing within them that says that's more real than when mum calls them to come back in for tea or something.
Mm.
They've got no discernment there to say, that's not real, we were imagining.
Yeah.
And this is real, we're sat here in at the table eating tea. You know, it's only later that comes, that's unreal.
Yeah.
This is real.
Yeah.
And then we're very sure that this out here that I think I see, the idea that I'm a living being moving around in time and space, and that we're sitting in this room here together drinking tea, becomes so unchallenged.
Yeah.
That its experience is absolutely real. The idea that this room is appearing in me, as me, is almost absurd.
Yeah.
And because we question it, we reject it out of common sense.
Mm.
You know, there's nothing sensical about common sense. It just begins to... There's only a few core assumptions that have held all of it in place. That firstly, that I exist. Secondly, that all this is real. Which is really based on the first assumption. If you're not here, then none of this is perceivable. Mm. And that me and what I see are different things.
Mm.
Well, what I perceive, yeah. Whichever way.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't matter how far along you are spiritually, if you take a question and hold it for 30 days, something amazing is going to happen.
Mm.
Even if the question changes, and it probably will. It's like one of them, when I went to Texas, there were these, you know, the bucking bronco things.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got to hold on with one hand, and you've got to stay on.
Mm.
And I think that the record was like 45 seconds in this one place we went. And it's just like that, you've got to stay on the question.
Mm.
Don't let it throw you off for 30 days or whatever it is. By that point, even if your tendency to assume hasn't completely gone, it'll be mostly.
Mm.
And you'll be so in love with the process that you won't ever want to stop.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
That point is just a matter of time before the whole illusion collapses.
Yeah.
And you begin to actually experience reality as much as you're capable of in that moment.
Mm.
And it'll begin to reveal itself to you clearer and clearer.
Mm.
Where we go wrong as human beings is we're just like, oh, look at that over there. I've forgotten this thing here that I was doing that I swore I'd be consistent about. Once you don't want to do that anymore, it's over. You'll catch yourself.
Mm.
Everyone thinks that the teacher has realised the self, but they've completely discarded that idea. They don't even want that one. It's not valuable at all.
It's still an idea, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know who I am, don't know what I am, don't know what you are, don't know what any of this is, and I'm really, really happy.
Mm.
I'm getting happier all the time.
Mm.
Occasionally something will be shown to me, look, this is still seems a bit real for you. You know, oh, yeah.
Mm.
And it's quite funny. I used to believe that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, okay.
If you believe that one answer you get is real, then you'll have to keep experiencing that answer over and over again. As in remembering, forgetting.
Mm.
And then this question begins to arise, why am I here again? Asking the same, why is this happening again?
Yeah.
Because you're suddenly aware of like a massive deja vu.
Yeah.
I've really done this conversation about 150 times. Why is that so? What stops it from taking hold? You know, what stops it from taking hold, what you're seeing is the fact that it directly contradicts what you're assuming to be true. If you're assuming you don't have enough of something and it's revealed to you that your infinite supply can never run out, you've got a choice then in that moment, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Your experience keeps telling you don't have enough, but when you self-inquire, you see you can never run out.
Yeah. Kind of a clash there, isn't it?
Yeah. Simple. And if you forget what you're supposed to be doing, ask another question. You can do it with anything as well. You can take any idea, like, what is forgiveness? Like, when we did the forgiveness course, you probably had an idea of what forgiveness was before you started. An idea of what it was the first week, the second week, the third week, the fourth week. Maybe now you know it's a deeper answer. What is compassion? What is the self? What am I? Is there any illusion? What is illusion? You know, you could take that question and...
So just one question for 30 days.
Gauntlet thrown down. And don't beat yourself up if you get to 27 days and forget.
Yeah.
You're so much more likely to do the 30 next time.
Mm.
Or whatever it is. I don't exactly know if it's 30. I think that's biologically how long it takes.
Yeah, yeah.
To form a new neuropathy, yeah. Or to stop using the old ones, most importantly.
Mm.
Right. Unconscious thinking that's running our lives.
Mm.
That's the bottom line.
Right.
Well done.
I'll think of a question. Simple one.
Is there anything that sort of pulls you now? What is Krishna? You know, you can even ask that. It's, who was Christ? Who is Christ? Anything like that. Everybody assumes it's the physical form, and then you realise it's not, and it's something else.
Yeah.
Everybody assumes it's the formless.
I might go with that Christ one, because I've been pulled to reading about Christ again recently.
Mm.
Whether it's because of my childhood and, you know, trying to get a deeper understanding, not just what you're taught, you know. Because very much this parable means that, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I might go with that one, actually.
Be interesting if, you know, keep a journal of your epiphanies and revelations about it. And, and watch how they deepen the more you ask the question.
Yeah.
It's like digging, you know, mining for gold. You keep digging deeper and deeper as you keep.
So will you just ask the question and then just see what comes during the day, kind of thing? And
yeah, you'll have thoughts and revelations about it and epiphanies and you might feel a shift, all levels of answers, so thoughts, emotions and a shift in your level of consciousness. And in the end you won't be able to really say that it was from that particular question.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, satsang is a question, isn't it? What is truth?
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of, the whole of your rest of your life becomes that journey of the answer to your question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll try and keep a journal as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's after a while, it'll just be endless revelations and epiphanies.
Mm.
But what's interesting to note is the longer that process goes on, the less of these trigger of awful events happen in your outside world.
Mm.
Because you're just not buying the assumptions that fuel the thing to keep showing up.
Mm.
You know, so you might be asking, what is Christ? But then notice there's less lack in your life of whatever it is you think you need. There's another answer, right? Christ is abundance. Infinite supply.
Yeah.
See, everything that happens from that moment of asking that question will be an answer. And it'll be instantaneous.
I'm quite interested in
It's amazing. Yeah. It's like a whole new world is revealed to you. You've been swimming around in reality with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
By the assumptions, being blinkered like a horse. Don't look over there, that'll disturb you, you know.
Mm.
And you realize it's how is this? How is this thing that's just happened an answer to my question?
Mm.
And it'll be revealed something wonderful. You'll fall in love with it, honestly.
Mm.
It'd be the greatest love affair in history. Seriously.
No, I do. I'm going to do it. I'll never go.
Perhaps in a week or so we can do this again then, and we can record some of the epiphanies and you can go through some of the revelations. And
yeah, I'll get all started writing. Yeah, I'll do it. Definitely do it. Have a go.
Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah.